This episode is brought to you by Book Thinkers. Do you want to reach more readers, grow your audience, and supercharge your impact? Well, at Book Thinkers, they believe the right books at the right time can change lives. Now, you have put serious time into researching, writing, and editing a book, and the idea of marketing can be deflating. Well, truth be told, it doesn't have to be. You've spent a lot of time writing your book for personal development because you want to help readers make positive changes and improve their lives. Where authors get stuck isn't writing or publishing. It's ensuring their target reader gets their hands on the finished book. That's where Book Thinkers come in. They have worked alongside hundreds of authors, from first-time writers to best-selling authors, to help get their book in front of the right reader. And those readers don't just read, they connect. For Book Thinkers, they help video production for authors, book reviews, podcast booking, and even social media management. Now, quick question. Are you ready to change more lives? Well, if you are, then you can go to www.bookthinkers.com and get more eyes on your books now. As we all know, astrology is a belief system that suggests a connection between celestial events and human affairs. Some people believe that astrology can provide insights into personality traits, strengths, and weaknesses, which can be helpful in various areas of life, including business. Now, here's a quick question. What if the movement of the planets in relation to Earth could foretell whether your business will be a boom or a bust? And another question to you is this. What if you could use that information, like technical and fundamental data, to pick which market to enter? Well, I know this can be a little bit strange to you if you don't follow astrology, but today we have invited an extraordinary astrologer who will be going to talk a lot about this later on. Hi, my name is Rayson Chu and I'm your host for The Regency Show. And today we've invited an incredible astrologer. Her name is none other than Carmen Turner Short. Carmen is an author, licensed clinical social worker, astrologer, and teacher. She has been researching the 8th and 12th astrological houses and trauma, healing, and transformation for the past 28 years. She has presented astrology workshops for the Association of Research and Enlightenment, ARE, throughout the years and teaches a variety of spiritual development classes. And, well, without further ado, let's welcome Carmen into the podcast. Woohoo!
Hi, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Oh, you're most welcome. I mean, like, it's really an honor and pleasure to have you here. And to be honest, this is my first time having an astrologer who's going to talk a lot about entrepreneurship and business in this podcast, because the last time I had people who talked about numerology, who talked about a little bit on 八字, which I'm not sure if you've heard of it, which is like some sort of a little bit of fortune telling kind of thing, and astrology as well, but not towards the Western aspects of astrology. So wow, it's amazing to, you know, be able to speak with you. And I believe you are actually based in the United States, right?
Yes, I'm in the Midwest. I'm near St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, about 5 hours from Chicago. So, you know, I'm right in the middle.
Okay. Well, and I believe now it's like 7 p.m. over at your area, right?
Yes. And are you, where are you? Are you overseas, right?
Yes, I am. I am based in Singapore, and that's now awesome. It's like 8 a.m. 8:10 a.m. in the morning.
That's great.
Well, Carmen, can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Sure. So I started out studying astrology when I was about 16, and I always loved psychology and high school, and decided, I wanted to be a counselor or psychologist. And I also loved religion and philosophy and learning about different religions and beliefs and travel, and so I kind of did both when I was in college and became a social worker. And I started out, as a licensed clinical social worker, but even way before that, I always knew astrology. I taught it to myself when I was in high school, and I practiced, and I started my own business doing it when I was about 20 years old. And I founded what's called Deep Soul Divers Astrology, and I can, I'll share some lessons learned with you later. I know you asked me some great questions to hit. But it all kind of fell into my lap that I've always done two different jobs. And I'll explain a little bit about that, that it's in my chart. And that could be in the audience's chart. I'm meant to work two jobs, and that's the Gemini on the 10th house of career. So I can explain a lot of this. When I see someone's chart, I can see their strengths. But I started as a social worker working with children, teens, and adults, and then I got into sexual assault prevention and violence prevention and response. And I've done a lot of work with trauma survivors. I've done private practice. I have a normal job in the real world, and then I do deep soul divers astrology. I'm a consultation psychological astrology, which is really a tool of self-awareness, and I've been doing it for almost 30 years now. And then I've been writing books for a while, which I can share a little bit about that journey. But I self-published my first book back in 2010, and I've always loved to write. So I've been a writer, but it was hard to get in the publishing industry, right? It was hard to get a book published. And so you take a lot of rejection, you just keep sending it out there. And I finally got a publisher, and now I have two publishers and four new books out. So the past 2 years. So it was a lot of work, and but it's worth it. And it's really just being patient and putting that effort in, to what you do, and being positive and not giving up. And so we can talk about that, and I can give, my tips of how I ended up. But I believe that astrology is a powerful tool that helps us heal, transform, and build resilience. Everyone has a unique chart. Everyone's personality is different. You know this. Even twins can be very different emotionally, and that's because the moon sign changes through the sky every 2 to 3 days. So if twins are born like 8 hours apart, emotionally they can be very different. Even though their birth chart's very similar, they can have some small differences in their personality. And I've seen it with twins and all over the world. I've worked with people for many years, and I love it. It's a tool, it's my passion, and that's why I love doing it. And I think, when something's your passion, it doesn't feel like work, right? When you're doing something you love to do, it's something that is fun. And if you can, do it as a job and make money, it's even better, right? So that's what I've been doing. And that's, I try to open people's minds to it, because a lot of people don't realize it's a science, and it is energy. Everything is energy, and it's very validating for people. I'm not making stuff up. These are things and energy patterns that I've researched and studied for many years. And I've seen people, I've collected all these charts, and I've seen these same patterns. And that's how I write my books and talk about all the things I've learned, by doing counseling with people and using this as a tool.
Oh, interesting. Wow, this is very interesting way of how do I put it? Like being a counselor and a psychologist to someone, because usually they will use the textbook of psychology rather than what you have been using, which is astrology. Very, very interesting way of looking at people and things. And can you tell us a bit more about your backstory on how you
Sure.
became a psychologist astrologer? And don't mind me asking, is psychologist astrologer an actual term in the psychology world, or is this just something that you coined together in a sense?
So this is something that's been around. Carl Jung, the famous astrologer, he was a famous psychologist, was an astrologer. Carl Jung, He said astrology was fact, right? And okay. It can be used as a tool. So, you know, him and Sigmund Freud were the two big, right, psychologists. So Carl Jung has a lot of books, you know, on dreams, and he studied astrology, you know, so did Nostradamus, okay. So did Hippocrates, the father of medicine. I mean, astrology has been around since ancient times and was used to diagnose illnesses and predict different mm-hmm. events. And what it is it's created by, I believe it's created by the universe, by God. And it's part, mm-hmm. it's in the Bible, it's in religion, it's in all these historic art, you know, churches all over the world. Yep. There's symbols. The symbols of astrology are all over the world. And so I'm very open-minded to it. But how I was not raised to believe this, as you I'm sure you know. I was raised very yep. traditional in the Midwest, which is known as the Bible Belt. Very Christian, yep. and raised, you know, just as a normal person, but I never felt normal. Ever since I was little, okay. I felt different. And I was very sensitive and very empathic. I would feel what people's emotions, I would know when someone was hurting, when they were sad, and I was always trying to help people, you know, and I'd say, are you okay? Because I would feel things, and no one could explain to me how I just knew things, right? I would just kind of know things, and I would dream. And so I was mm-hmm. always kind of different than my peers. And when I was 16, I experienced that changed my life. I woke up one night and I saw a glowing ball of light in my doorway. Oh. And yes. And my mother saw it too. So I knew, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I was awake. I woke up in the night and saw it. It was about this big, floating there. It was like yellow, white, translucent. And I couldn't okay. yell. I couldn't move because of course it was the unknown. So I was afraid. I was afraid. And I think now it was probably an angel, something, you know, it wasn't negative, but in my 16-year-old mind, I was scared, right? And my mother, I yelled for her. Finally, I had my voice and she saw it. And she said, mm-hmm. maybe it's a flashlight. Maybe there's a lightning bug. And we laughed because the next day she said, that was not a lightning bug. That, I don't know what that was. And she didn't know what to say to me. And so that okay. that personal experience is what got me starting to look into these things, right? And go right. and read books and teach myself. And the first book I got was a little astrology book about Virgo, which is my sun sign. And I just started, it validated my personality. I thought, how is this me? This is so true. You know, I'm a worrier, yep. you know, I get anxious. I want to do things right. I like things planned. I like to be organized, right? And so I thought, yep. this is me. How does this work? And then, you know, I love psychology and I was always spiritual. So after that, I taught myself astrology. I literally, in those days, we didn't have computers. So we had to do right. it by hand with a wheel and math and everything, longitude, latitude, and draw everything. Now I have a computer program that does it instantly for me. It's so much better. But in the old, in yep. the old days, you know, I'm only 47, so I'm not that old. But in the old days, I had to do it by hand. And I just started learning and I knew it was so accurate. And I started sharing it with people, my friends, you know, in college, I was doing consults for free, literally mm-hmm. just for fun because I loved it. And I felt like I was helping people. And I felt like one session with astrology was deeper than 8 therapy sessions with the therapist because it is so powerful. Like you get so much out of 1 hour. And you can be going for a year to see a counselor and never get to the deeper stuff that astrology brings out. And I thought, mm-hmm. wow, this is, I want to do this when I become a counselor. I want to bring it in as a tool, right? And, right. you know, there's all kinds of different personality theories. You know, there's the Myers-Briggs, the 4 lenses, you know, all these things yeah. are for team building. I mean, I'm trained in all of them and I've done all these team buildings and businesses and at work and for teams, you know, so we understand each other at work. And astrology is the same thing. It can be used for the exact same thing, to build a team, to know each other's strengths on your team or in your business. When you know someone's sun sign, that gives you a lot of insight about their personality. But when you have their whole chart, then you really know everything about them. And there was a meme I saw once on Facebook and I laugh and it was like, a Leonardo DiCaprio asking somebody, it was one of those movies, what time were you born? What's your date of birth? And what time were you born? And, And the guy's like, why? And he's like, I don't know, think I can work with you, because that's how I am. I need to know someone's sun sign at a minimum. You know, when are you born? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes I just know, you know, when I meet people. But I taught myself astrology, and I started doing it in graduate school, and I got my master's in social work, and I've always been doing it. And then people started wanting to pay me. So, you know, this is part of entrepreneurship and business, right? Because I never had a business. I didn't know what I was doing, right? And I wasn't a business major. You know, I was a psychology social work major. I mean, money and finance were not my forte, right? I mean, I didn't go into a career field that was a money-making career field. I went into career field to help other people. So I just started feeling, I felt a little guilty, right, to take money. But then I thought, well, this is a business. You know, I'm giving a service. And I'm helping them, and I'm putting a lot of time and effort. And so I started accepting donations. You know, that's how I kind of started. And I would just say, hey, if you know, whatever you want to donate, and then people would donate. And then it took several years for me to actually have a fee. You know, I got a website, I got started charging a small fee, and I felt good about that. You know, I started pretty low, you know, and I built up, and through the years, I've really been offering the same price until I started getting books published, and then I raised it just a little bit, but I'm not outrageously expensive like a lot of astrologers are very expensive, and I never do that, because I feel like, you know, if people find me and come to me, then it's meant to be. And I don't really advertise a ton my consults, but I do advertise my books and things I do on social media. But you know, I have a wait list now because of my books. Wow. Yeah, so I work a normal job that's very demanding. So I really only have nights and weekends that I can do my astrology consults for people. But yeah, I started teaching it too. You know, people start asking me to come out and do workshops, and I've done workshops, you know, many years. I mean, even years ago, I did workshops for the Edgar Cayce Foundation out in Virginia Beach, some e-groups. I did live presentations, did astrology, a map of the soul, and I did, you know, conferences, fairs. I would go out and teach astrology and have booths and things like that. And then I just kind of outgrew that in a way, and I changed, and I'm like, you know, I really want to write about this. I want to teach people the basics of it so they understand it in a simple way. And that's what my sun signs book, Sun Signs, Houses, and Healing, is a beginner's guide, and it's so easy to understand. And you can, the whole intro explains how to do your chart, what it all means, and then you can look up each of the 12 sun signs personalities, and it gives self-care tips, you know, how you find happiness, how you heal, how you transform, how you become resilient, which means when you get knocked down, how do you get back up? And every sign has its strengths and weaknesses, right? And so I go into that. But I want to use it as a tool of self-awareness to help people understand themselves in a deeper way. And that's kind of how I got into it. And yeah, great question. I got a lot more, and I got my little notes here. So yeah, ask me whatever you want.
Sure. No problem. Wow. Really exciting. I mean, like to know that you had this epiphany and this spiritual encounter in age 16, and then after that it became a huge obsession and passion towards finding out more about astrology and incorporate it towards psychology, which is really, really amazing. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you already have like hundreds and thousands of people that you have helped, and they are from all over the world. I remember you have some that are from US. There are quite a few of them that's actually based international, right? So do you have anyone that's based in Singapore that consulted you before?
You know, I have, a long time ago. I mean, I've had, you know, one thing I learned about business is to keep a client list. And I learned that late. I mean, I was doing this, I mean, you know, for a long time, and I never really built an email client list. And I'm kind of just been starting that the past couple of years. And I'm like, man, all those people that email me, and I had a, you know, an old Hotmail, I don't even know what their emails. But yeah, I have had people in Korea, Singapore, Europe, you know, all over the world, Italy, Greece,
Wow.
Everywhere. Yeah. Russia, Ukraine. I mean, I've had people contact me, you know, on email or on my website, you know, because they've seen my articles or they've read, seen my books, you know, throughout the years. But yeah, I have done. And I used to do, you know, phone or Skype. You know, in the old days, we used to do Skype.
Oh, yeah.
So it was free, you know, and now I got a Zoom account and I still use Skype sometimes too. And ooh, so,
okay.
But yeah, I had a lady from Serbia recently that really wanted my books, but for some reason, you know, Amazon won't ship there. So she couldn't get my books. So she really okay. wanted them. And I said, you know, she wanted all of them and I got 9. So I got them yep. already. And I said, you know what, I'll ship them to you, but the shipping's going to be more than the books. You know how that is, shipping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yep. it was literally like $100 for her to even, for me to ship them to her, but she paid me. And I shipped her a signed copies of all my 9 books. So, and then I had someone from Germany who wanted signed book and same thing, you know, the shipping was a little bit of an issue, but I will yeah. ship UK. I got a lot of UK clients in England and in Ireland and in Scotland. And yeah, it's fun. And I love it. I love meeting people from all over the world, Canada, you know, everywhere. So.
Wow. Awesome. Wow. This all these things. You have actually grown over the years in terms of yeah. experience and even the people. It's tremendous, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you might or you must have actually made some mistakes along the way yeah. or even had some what many people call it as a failure, right? So,
sure.
Carmen, can you tell us, do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how do you approach yeah. that failure and what lessons have you learned from your biggest setbacks?
Wow, that's great. That's a great question. So my biggest failure ended up coming full circle and was one of my biggest blessings. Okay. Because many years ago, I submitted a proposal to a publisher for my astrology book. Okay. And it was called The Mysteries of the Eighth Astrological House, Phoenix Rising. And I wrote that book based on an article that I wrote years ago when I was like 20, right? And I was so excited, you know, I submitted it to them. They came back and the editor or agent said, hey, we're interested, but can you write a book about all of the astrological houses, right? And this was like back in 2009. Okay, so this has been a while. And I thought, oh, of course, right? And so they paid me a little bit of money. They gave me a year. I wrote this book from scratch, right? And at the time, I was working full time. I had a little 3-year-old, you know, and I was just trying to, you know, get this book written from scratch, you know, because it wasn't the original manuscript, right, that I sent. And then the lady that, you know, kind of signed me on, the editor, I guess she unexpectedly left, but nobody told me. And so when I went to check in, hey, what's going on with the book, you know, they came back and said, well, we changed our mind. There's not a market for a house's book. And I'm like, oh man. And so, you know, my dream was to get published. So I was devastated at the time. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is, you know, what am I going to do? So I just went ahead and self-published it. Both books, the Eighth House and the Planets book. And of course they haven't sold a ton, you know, cause they're self-published and I used Book Surge, you know, back in the day. And then Amazon bought them out just a few years ago. But, getting turned down and deciding to self-publish was a good thing because I believe that we have to get comfortable with rejection and criticism. And as right. as a Virgo, you know, I'm an earth sign. Virgos are perfectionist and we don't like criticism because we're very high standard of ourselves, right? We're hard on yeah. ourselves anyway. So I kind of was down, but you just can't let anyone that tells you no. Just because you're told no once doesn't mean you're not going to be told yes later. And that's something that I learned in life, even in the normal business world and at work and career, is that if you never ask the answer, you think the answer is going to be no, but it's, and I never wanted to ask because I always felt like it was being rude or selfish, you know, to ask something for myself, you know, or something silly, you know, and I'm like, you know what, if I never ask, I'll never know. And I started asking, you know, can I do this? And they're like, well, yeah. And so you start hearing yes, right? And so it's that kind of feeling not to give up. And I kept on and it took many years of a gap there, right? And all of a sudden the timing was right. And I had an idea for the sun signs book, this one. And mm-hmm. I went ahead and sent an email and an idea to the same publisher that rejected me back in 2009, right? And they loved it. And they came back and said, we want to publish it. And they gave me time to write it, and it came out.
Oh.
And then, so it's the same, I mean, see, full circle. Even though I was told no, later I was told yes. And that was my first published book, which was my dream. That was a dream of mine, to be a published author. And then things got better. They came back and said, would you write a moon signs book? Which I did, that just came out in May this summer. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that. And I said, of course. I wrote it from scratch. And I loved it. It was so much fun. And I've been doing book signings for it and different opportunities with my publisher. And it's been wonderful. And I'm just doing my dream right now. So that failure of, you know, having that hope that, wow, they're going to do this, right? And then they change their mind. But you know what? That's life, right? That can happen mm-hmm. to anyone. And sometimes, you know, I have friends that, you know, walked into work one day and they laid everybody off, you know, especially in the business world. When years ago, when we had the crisis and things, I had like five friends from college that said, I lost my job. I literally went in and they said, go home. And they were business, you know, business management, MBAs, accountants. And, you know, there's a lot of cuts that happened, you know, years ago.
Yep.
And they had to start over again too. And you just can't give up. You have to be strong and know that there's a reason that things happen. And I believe, you know, in the law of manifestation. And I do believe in that. It's like the same law that's talked about in different religions, you know, the golden rule, you know, thinking positive, you know, mm-hmm. believing and being optimistic and visualizing right. what you want and being, even if you don't have it, believing mm-hmm. that you can achieve things. Because if you're pessimistic and negative, you know, you're never going to reach those goals. And later on, you asked me about some books I like, you know, one of them is, you know, The Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of them is, you know, all of that is about being optimistic and seeing the goal and believing you can get it right. Seeing it first. And, but yeah, I think that failure ended up being, one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, at the time I was devastated and I was scared to ever submit another book idea to any publisher, but I went ahead and did it and it all worked out. And now I'm doing what I love to do, writing books.
Nice. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, like, you know, being rejected. And then after that, you thought that, oh, it's not going to be over. I'm going to continue with my own path before something magical happened again, which is the same publisher that actually you went back to.
Yeah.
They actually loved your book and they loved the idea and they said yes to you. Wow, that is magnificent.
Yeah.
Man, so it's always like this, right? Stories where you get rejected and then after that, you don't receive what you wanted. And then next moment, you persevere, you went on to fight for your dreams, and guess what? A few years later, some people will be months, some will be years, and then after that, you get what you want.
Yes.
And man, that is amazing. And sometimes you might even get more than what you want.
Yes.
In a sense, right?
Yes. Yes. It's amazing. And mm-hmm. You know, and I can share later some other questions you have, you know, about mentors and things too. You know, I think that sometimes it's about timing, and sometimes, you know, some people's timing is early mm-hmm. when they're young. Some people's timing for success is when they're a little bit older. And I used to say this to my brother because he's a Capricorn sun and moon, and he is an MBA business, you know, always wanted to rise up. And it took him a little longer than other people, his friends. I told him, you're the goat. You go up the mountain. You might trip and fall, but you will reach the top of the mountain one day and you will be successful, because Capricorn rules career and success in astrology. And I said, you will be. And now he's doing so wonderful. And he said he never thought he would. He just was really having one setback after the other and seeing people promote over him. And I told him, you're going to get there. Don't worry about it. You got a good chart and good luck with career. And now it's all worked. And, you know, now he has a family and kids and everything. And he's loving his job. And so it all worked out. So you just got to let the timing be for you. And that's what astrology is about, is timing. And also looking at your strengths and your energies and your birth chart can show what career fields are good for you, where you have good luck, and all of those kind of things. And people can bring you luck sometimes, other people, even though you might, other people, and those connections and those networks and those collaborations can bring you success too. So those are things that can be seen in someone's birth chart, what they need to do. And I give tips on that when I meet someone and do their chart, you know, what I see, try to encourage them. Yeah.
Okay, nice. We'll talk a little bit more about this chart later on, especially my chart in a while. But of course, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you are building your business up, you would have met some mentors along the way, right? Business mentors and all. So can you tell us what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from your mentor?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I'll tell you, my mentor is really the reason that I ended up, you know, submitting another book proposal, because my mentor was also in the psychology field, and he started doing astrology back in the 1980s, and he published his first book in 86, and his name's Bernie Ashman, and he has been like my friend, a mentor, a support to me for many years, and he's followed me in my groups. He read my eighth house book. He told me, you need to submit, you need to do this. And he told me this in 2015, and it took me a little longer to finally listen, but he was my biggest cheerleader, and he made me believe in myself that I could write, and that he thought that I had some good ideas. So without his support, I probably would never send another submission manuscript in. Right. And so him and I still talk every day. We're actually writing a book together that's going to come out next year. And that was amazing that he wanted to write a book with me. And he said, you're the only person I would want to write a book with. And I'm like, same. And so we're writing a book together, and already wrote it. And in the publishing world, you got to wait almost 10 months to a year before your book actually publishes. You know, once you submit it, it's something that I learned. I didn't know that, because it takes that long to get your book title in the systems and in the publishing databases. And so you wait almost a whole year before you see it come to life, but it's worth it. Yeah. So he's my mentor. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, nice. Nice. And, you know, just now you were talking about books, right? Yeah. So can you tell us, like, what books besides your own, besides the one that you mentioned earlier, Seven Habits?
Yeah. The Seven Habits. Yeah. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I also like, there's a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And, you know, and that's a really good book. And I remember reading that back in the 90s, I think. I mean, it was a long time ago. And it's, you know, about how your thoughts create illness, and your positive thinking can help you heal, and how she changed her whole life. And now she's a well-known author, owns her own, you know, a publishing company, and helps people. And then Wayne Dyer, you know, I like some of his books as well. Deepak Chopra, I love his books. I would say there's so many. I like, you know, The Four Agreements. That's a good book.
I love that.
Yeah. And I love, you know, there's just so many books I like. I don't have enough time to read, because I'm always doing something else, it seems like, lately. But I do like to read. Maybe one day I'll be able to read some books again. My daughter's always on me about reading. She loves to read, so she reads a lot. But she's 19, and she's going into English and history major, going to college in August. So,
the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, welcome, and wow, nice. And now, you know, we're gonna go to the main focus of our interview. So, can you tell us more, Carmen, regarding astrology? Can you tell us what is it all about in terms of astrology? And also at the same time, earlier on, you mentioned about timing, right? Yeah. So everyone has their own timing. And can we actually pull some strings and let those timing become shorter? Can we do that? Or
That's a good question. This is a big question. So let me explain. So there's many different types of astrology charts. One of the most important ones is what we call a natal chart or birth chart. And that's based on your exact month, date, year of birth, your exact time of birth. AM or PM is very important as well. And your city, state, country. And that's we need to start with that, because that starts with you, the individual. And that shows your luck, your talents, your strengths, your weaknesses, you know, where your soul mission is, where you're meant to go, where you're meant to focus on. And there's a lot that goes into it, right? What we do is pretty much, even twins can have different charts, because the planets are moving through the 12 signs, the 12 star constellations, and they're going to be in a certain area of the sky when you're born. So on your exact day, year, place, time of birth, all of those planets were in a certain star constellation, which are the signs, the 12 signs, and they were in an area of the sky, which we call houses. So when you look at the sky from Earth, it's like you take a picture and put it on a piece of paper, and that wheel with the 12 houses and all the symbols is your soul map. That's your soul map. And it's important to know that. And some people don't know their time of birth. If they don't, it's hard for an astrologer to really nail down, but we can get a sense by estimating between a certain time frame. We can get an accurate, pretty accurate chart, but it's not going to be as accurate unless you have your time. So the time is critical. And so we'll look at that first. So let's start with that. When we look at a chart, we want to look, if you're talking about career and success, we want to look for the signs Capricorn, okay? Because Capricorn rules career and success. They rule entrepreneurship. They rule the public eye. They rule the 10th house in astrology, which is the house of success and your work and your career. And so when I look at your chart, you know, for you, for instance, your sun is in the 10th house in your birth chart. That means your main identity, you shine at work, you shine in your career and looking for success and being hardworking. You know, you're a Virgo, but it's in the 10th house. And then I look at what sign was on that 10th house cusp, because that kind of shows me what kind of careers are good for you. And you have Virgo. You know what Virgos are known for? Communication, sharing knowledge, teaching, radio, broadcasting, writing, learning, right? Networking. Mm-hmm. Virgos are ruled by Mercury, the planet of communication. So spreading knowledge and helping people in some way. You know, they like to be a service, practical service. You know, they're perfectionists. They're detail focused. They see what needs to be fixed. They're loyal, practical, efficient, productive, and you got all of that. So you shine in your career. So you're a person, if I would have met you long time ago and did your chart, I would have said you're going to be a success in your career. You don't need to worry. You're going to shine, and you don't need to worry about it, because that's a very positive placement of the sun, having it in that Capricorn house of career. And then a lot of different placements we look at, right, is that sign on that 10th house. Like if it's Aries, you're going to be a person that does not want to work for other people. You're going to want to own your own business. Same with Capricorn on the 10th. You're going to want to own your own business, be, you know, not have to work for anyone else, be independent, self-reliant in your work. And so there's things I look for. Aries are known, to be driven. Motivating people, you know, they're salesmen, natural salesmen. They can sell somebody anything, right? They're charismatic, they're energetic, they're strong, they're go-getters. They like action, right? They like crisis. They do good in crisis. So, and they like a risk, taking risks. And so Aries typically are these entrepreneur type people that own their own businesses. So are Capricorns. And so are people that have planets in the 10th house. Okay. So those are things I look for when I'm looking at someone's, you know, if someone needs to own a business. Like just the other day, I was telling somebody, she was 57. I said, have you ever thought about, you know, learning, owning your own business, starting being your own boss? And she said, this is so weird because, yes, my husband and I are just researching to own, to start their own restaurant, their chefs, right, to own their own business. And I said, you need to work for yourself. You know, that was in her chart, in her 10th house and her stuff. So, yes, I saw we have a Pisces on. Welcome. Yeah. Pisces are the spiritual, compassionate, kind, artistic, creative, empathic. A lot of Pisces are musicians, actors, artists, all those things. They like to help people, social workers, counselors. So mm-hmm. they're very artistic. So I like Pisces. That's our Virgo's polar opposite is Pisces. So, so what that means is everyone has a polar opposite sign, all 12 signs. And when you think of polar opposite, you think that means we're different, but it actually means that you're all very similar. So Virgo and Pisces are similar. They share similar personality traits. It's like a continuum, and health issues, vulnerable areas, right? And so every Pisces has a little Virgo. Every Virgo sun has a little Pisces. So that's something that I teach people. But yes, you know, I wrote down some notes here. So, you know, another thing to really be cautious about is not everyone should own a business. Okay. And there might be things in your birth chart that show that it's best for some people to have a partner or they won't succeed. So they need like a business partner. Right. And these are things that astrologers can see. And the thing about astrology is there's so many types and it's so in depth. You can spend your lifetime learning this. You know, I'm not an expert in business astrology. There are people that are experts in it, and there's books out there just on business astrology. I mean, this is why I love astrology. I'm always getting to master and learn something new, right? Medical astrology. Mm-hmm. There's even astrology charts that tell you where is the best place for you to live in the world, where you'll have success. Wow. We call it astrocartography. And you do your chart. I do a little thing and I tell you, these are the cities. You give me a list of cities and countries. I'll tell you where's the best for you to live and where it's not good for you to live, for your career, for your success. So those are things we can do. And mm-hmm. and then we want to look at the seventh house, because in the chart, it's the house of partners. And some people have certain planets there that I caution them, don't ever partner with anyone. Okay, so you have a full mix of how this can play out. And so some people are like, if you don't be careful who you partner with, because you could get a disillusioned or lied to or kind of blindsided by someone, or someone might be unstable as a partner. You got to be careful who you go into business with. That's what I said, you know, and people always say, you know, keep emotions out of business. You know, this is business, not personal, but it is. It's very personal when you're partnering with people and your money is involved. It's very personal. So I recommend, if you're going to start a business, to look at your birth chart first. And then some cool things that astrologers can do too is, like, when I started my business, you know, my astrology practice, you can actually do a chart for the start, the idea. The day you have the idea, you can do a chart and see what, and it's a map of that idea, that business. And then you can do an astrology chart. You can look and make a good date to start the business where you sign the paperwork to actually become a real business. You can kind of wait and get the right day and energy and chart. And then people have asked me to do that for them many years ago. I've done that. And I'm like, yeah, this is a good day to start the business, because your business has its own birth chart. And you can analyze that just like you do a person. Okay.
Okay. And this is something like Chinese feng shui, right? In a sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
It's like if you tell me, you know what, it's like if you're going to buy a house on a certain day or time. Yeah. It's like, okay, we're going to go ahead and sign the paperwork. And this is official business. We're going live on August 20th. You know, 2024, whatever. We can look and see, is that a good day for that type of business? Because certain signs rule certain careers. Okay. Capricorn is known for business, finance, real estate, you know, sales, owning land, owning their own business, you know, being a worker. And so Capricorns are a little bit more cautious about business. Okay. You know, they're a little bit more cautious, and they like to plan. And Taurus, the earth signs are known to be planners, Virgo, Taurus, and Capricorn. And they like to be very practical, and they're workaholics. You know, those three signs like to work. They like to do, they like to work, and they like to be successful and achieve things. And then, so you've got to really look at all these signs. But whenever I see, you know, like someone has a lot of Leos typically are drawn to be on stage. So they're charismatic. They're kind of the person in the company. You want to put them out on stage and let them sell it, because they can sell a car to anyone, right? You know, they're charming, they're charismatic. And Leos tend to promote early in life. They get a lot of luck with their success. And that's a Leo thing. But then later in life, things can change for them. You know, a lot of Leos, they're like high position early when they're young. But Capricorn is a little different. They work real hard, and they always feel like they're the hardest worker, but they're not having those doors open like other people. But that's because that's their destiny. They're meant to be slow with time, and then they move up the top of the ladder, right? So every sign has its karma, its destiny, okay?
I see.
And so we can look at all that. And like someone with Mars, the planet Mars is like the planet of drive, aggression. Like, it's where you have a ton of energy. When you have that in the 10th house, every time I see a person with Mars there, they're successful, but they also are very competitive. Like, they want to be the best at work. Sometimes they may step over you to be the best, right? And they got to learn to be less self-centered and think about the group and other people too. But they always want to reach their goals, right? And if your Mars is there, you're going to be, I mean, no matter what, you're going to be a hard worker. I mean, everyone I met with certain placements, right, in that house of career, it plays out different. And I'll give you an example. One, if you have Venus there, the planet, it's the feminine planet, the planet of love, you typically benefit through females in your career. So females may promote you. Co-workers that are females might help you, right, in your career. And that's because it's the feminine planet. And when it's in the 10th house, it's not a bad thing. It's a positive thing. But like if you have Neptune there, Neptune can be very difficult, because it's hard for you to figure out what you want to do as a career, because you're a little bit fogginess. You don't see clearly. You might be a little confused. What is best for me? And you might not know what career to do when Neptune's there. And then if you have Uranus, the planet of unexpected changes, in your 10th house, your job situation can be up and down most of your life, and you can change jobs, get laid off. Unexpected things happen at work, right? But those things happen to make you grow. And if you're not growing, Uranus shakes it up, right? So if you're in a job you hate, it's going to force you to change. And that's your destiny, right? And so we look at all of those things. I mean, I could talk for hours about this, but you know, there's so much to it. It's in depth, and it's hard to explain it all real quick. But yes, you can look at so many things to see where your strengths are, if you should partner with people, if you should own a business, what kind of business would be good for you, where you have good luck and success and good fortune. We can see all of that in the energy of your birth chart, and we can see that in the chart of the business. You know, if you already have a business, we can look at it and give tips and things like that, right?
Right.
To help the business owner. And there's timing. Like, it's just a whole nother thing that's in depth, but we have something called transits. So we do what's called a transit chart. And a transit chart, it's what's going on in the sky right now and how it's affecting the whole world. So that energy is affecting all of us right now. So for instance, Pluto, there was a lot of stuff online. People may have seen it, that Pluto had been in Capricorn for many, many years, and it was going to be moving into the sign Aquarius, and everybody was freaking out, like, what's going to happen? And, yes. And so right now we got a full moon, Bernadette. The full moon is in Capricorn right now. So whenever Yeah, whenever there's a moon, when we look at the moon, the sun is your main identity, your main personality that you show to the world. The moon sign is your inner nature. It's your emotions. It's where you find fulfillment, happiness, where you find comfort, stability. So looking at, it's where you express love and emotions to people. So knowing what sign the moon is in when you're born is important, and knowing what house it's in. But everyone on Earth is affected by the cycles of the moon. And this is a science. This is like astronomy 101, because the moon affects the tides of the ocean. And of course, our body is made up of mostly water. How would it not affect us? And it does. And so I did a lot of research on this when I was a social worker working with runaway teens. Every time there was a full moon, I would see that all of my teens were at the police station. And I'm like, yep, it was like the busiest week in my life. And I started telling my coworkers, you know, this is back when I was like 22, right? And I told my coworkers, there's a full moon this weekend. You guys need to be ready. Because why is the full moon, it heightens our emotions. It makes us a little irritable, makes us more sensitive. People might cry more easily. And they're like, what is wrong with me? And I tell them, well, it's a full moon. And they're like, oh my gosh, okay. I knew something was going on because I'm never emotional. And so the moon cycles affect everyone differently based on your moon sign and based on what sign the moon is in. And the moon changes signs every 2 to 3 days. It goes through all of the 12 signs every 2 to 3 days. And yeah, you were born on a full moon. Yeah, they call that, they call that a special, like a intense, very super intense time to be born on a full moon. It kind of intensifies your emotional nature in a way. And so if you your moon sign is how you react and instinctually feel things like immediately. And sometimes we hide our inner nature because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be vulnerable. So a lot of people might notice, you know, that Rayson, that you're a Virgo, you know, people notice I'm a Virgo. I like to talk. I like to teach. I like to learn about people, but I'm a little shy. You know, it's a Virgo thing. But when we're teaching, when we're on Zoom or on in a classroom, we kind of come out of our shell because we like knowledge. Yeah. You know, Virgos like knowledge. But my moon sign is Aries. And I got to be careful because I feel my emotions so intensely. It's opposite of my Virgo. And I have to stop and breathe and be patient and watch what I say, watch what I do, because Aries energy is very direct and blunt and honest. And it wants to express itself in the moment, and it wants action. And so I'm not the most patient person emotionally, but thank gosh for my Virgo, because that helps me be practical and say, okay, wait a minute. I'm not gonna quit my job over this, right? I need to calm down, right? And so, you know, so everyone has their moon sign that is gonna affect their emotional nature. And right now we have a full moon. And in my book, Moon Signs, Houses, and Healing, I talk about the full moon and how it affects each moon sign. And each moon, and it's based on your element. So if you think about in nature, we have the four elements: fire, air, earth, and water. And it's the same thing in astrology. So every sign is ruled by one of the elements. And this is what's cool. There's three signs in each element, and that three times, you know, 12. And so there's three fire signs, three earth signs, three water signs, three air signs. And in nature, if you think about it, if you throw water on fire, what does it do? Puts it out. And so water signs aren't the most compatible with fire signs, okay? And so air signs are compatible with fire signs because air signs help fire grow, and they complement each other. So and earth and water go together, right? Earth signs and water. Water runs on the earth. It's very natural. So the earth and water signs are always polar opposites in the sky at all times. And the fire and air signs are always opposing each other in the sky at all times. This is astronomy. It's just the way it is. And so it's because those are compatible elements. And that's why we always get along with our polar opposite sun sign. And same with the moon. Whatever sign the moon is in, you're probably going to get along with that person with the sun sign in that. Like Aries. I click with Aries and I draw them because my moon is Aries. you know, my mother's a Sagittarius sun, my father's a Sagittarius moon. They just click, you know, there's a compatibility there. And so we look at relationship compatibility, right? Business partner compatibility. I can tell you all of it if I see someone's chart, right? And I can also, another cool thing, you know, in business, especially if you're like, you know, own a startup or have your own business and you're recruiting the brightest and sharpest and most smartest people out there, you know, you want the best on your team, right? I recommend doing having their birth chart done because you need to see how the relationship with them affects you. And we call that a synastry chart. I can put like, I can do your chart, Rayson, and do my chart, put them on top of each other. And I can see how I affect you in all areas of life and how you impact my life and career, everything. And so you can do that with any two people. And then you can do a composite chart, which puts two people together as a couple, as one unit. And you'll see how the relationship is and can analyze that. Cool. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, okay. I mean, there's so many different types of charts that we could do. I mean, I could spend a long time talking about it, but no, if you want to ask me something else, I know I've been talking quite a while, but.
No worries. I understand. Wow. Interesting. I didn't know there's so many charts. And Carmen, how many charts are there? Is it like more than 10 or
no, or no. Jeez, I've done hundreds of charts in my life, thousands of charts. But lately, there was one point recently that I had 100 people on my wait list. And what I do is, this is a big thing in my books, I talk about self-care. Because it's something that we're not good at, especially people that are, you know, work a lot, they want to succeed, and people that are in the helping professions. You know, they tend to neglect themselves and their own health and their own thing. And so I'm always trying to do more self-care. And let me tell you a story why I included that in the books. I was in a leadership class at Washington University. It's where I got my master's in St. Louis. And it was a developing leadership class. It was like 3 months long. We go into class and we got to interview all these entrepreneurs and these business owners that had, you know, moved their way up and were the head of hospitals, you know, all these different things, right, in this area. And we all got to ask them a question. And they rotated around, right, to our little groups. And there's about eight of them and very successful people. And everyone was asking them, you know, stuff about work and all this. And I asked each of them, what do you do for self-care? And you should have seen the look on their face. They said, honestly, I'm not good at that. I don't do that well because they're workaholics. All they're doing is producing and working and traveling and going and balancing their family and everything, trying to do this work-life balance, right? And so I realized, wow, dang, man. You know, so I wanna be like a living example to people that I see, you know, because you know why? It's kind of like people aren't going to respect you if you're teaching them something. Like I teach self-care stuff to victim advocates and people. And I'm like, if I'm not doing these things, they're going to notice. And they notice when I'm on the email at 8 o'clock at night or I'm sending something on the weekend. You know, I'm not supposed to be on the computer, right? And that's a Virgo thing. I get on the computer and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to log on. I'm on leave, right? I'm off. but, you know, you have to do that. You've got to have boundaries and you've got to have time to withdraw from the world and replenish your tank, so to speak, or you can't keep going at that adrenaline at that high pace. So I think that self-care is so important. People drain me and self-care is, yes, Bernadette, I love my alone time. Oh my, I have to have my alone time or I'm not fun to be around. Let me just tell you. Yeah. And it's funny because I got three Virgos in my house. I'm married to a Virgo. Yeah, we're born the same exact day, but he's 5 years older. And and my daughter is also a Virgo. She was born the day before we were born. She missed it by 1 hour. She was almost born on our birthday. But all of us love our alone time. And that's a Virgo Pisces thing. We need time alone. We need solitude. We need peace. We need time by ourselves to read, meditate, you know, walk, whatever, cuddle with our pet. and nobody bugging us and not being around people, because that's how we recover from being out in the world and working and doing things. So it's very common for Virgo and Pisces to be homebodies. And so, like, my husband has his space downstairs. I got my office here, my little work area. And then my daughter's in her room reading her books. You know, we all are in different rooms. We come out to eat together, and then we go in our different rooms, you know, and it works. Right. And so we all have, you know, things like Bernadette, you know, said she knows herself. And that's what astrology is about, is self-awareness and knowing your strengths, knowing yourself, knowing where your challenges are with people or with your own life. And like, I know it's hard for me to let the past go. That was hard for me. And I was very, and I can be strong-willed and stubborn. And people think it's lonely, but I know, right? I used to go out to dinner in college. I go eat by myself at a restaurant. I love that. I love being by myself. I take my laptop and I got my books, you know, and I'm just, you know, going to the bread, Olive Garden or somewhere. And they would always say, are you alone? Are you waiting for someone? I'm like, no, I'm just me. I'll go ahead and order. And they always think it's so strange that I like to eat by myself. And I used to go to movies by myself. I love that, right? I mean, I have friends that I like, you know, I used to do that. If my friends were busy, I'd go to the movies. So I like my own company. And I feel at peace. I'm not lonely. And people might think it's loneliness, but it's not. I get that. I get that, Bernadette, definitely.
Yep, understand. And just wondering, how can astrology help in understanding and predicting business trends and opportunities? I understand that you mentioned about the house, the signs and all. Can you tell us a little bit more on that as well?
So the biggest thing, you know, there's a quote that I wrote down here. I thought you would like it. Let me see where I can find it here. Yeah, J.P. Morgan, you know, said millionaires use astrology. Millionaires don't use astrology. Billionaires do. J.P. Morgan said that. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of people. A lot of people use astrology, and they don't, and no one would know. And they use it for hiring people. They use it for predicting different markets, and it's the transits. You know, I was talking a little bit about the transits. So what we would do is we want to see the business chart, and like you know, there's business astrologers out there that focus on this in depth. But you want to see the chart of the business, and you want to see what transits of planets are impacting that business and the money. You know, the second house is your financial part of the business, your money. And if there's something going on there that could be causing some trouble, we'd be able to see it. And then if there's issues with the health of the business or partners, you know, coworkers, we can kind of see, do that transit chart, which you put it on the outside of the business chart and see what's affecting. And it's really looking at the transits every day. So like I do a astrological, it's energy. I do a forecast to say, hey, these are all of the major changes happening with the planets this month. And knowing that really helps. So like, for instance, this month, July, I knew that I was going to feel a little bit stuck and not feeling as good as I was in June. June, I was go, go, go. I was having all these ideas. I was multitasking, getting a lot done. And then all of a sudden, I felt a little lazy. I'm like, whoa, I don't want to do any. I'm just not motivated like I was. So those are things that every day, every month, we're impacted by the moon and the changes of the planets do impact our life. And you can really, you know, start with the birth chart. And then in the business chart, I really start with the people, because people is what makes a business. And you know what I'm saying? And if you hire the right people, you'll be success. If you network and collaborate with the right people, you can grow success. And astrology can help you know who those people are, what kind of personality traits they have. And then, I mean, there's a lot you can look at, you know, with the second house is the house of money and finance. in your chart. Okay. And so some people, you know, have inheritance. I mean, I can see in a chart if someone might inherit money. And I just did this the other day. Someone had a Uranus in their and Pluto in their money house. And I said, did you inherit money recently? And they're like, yeah, I did. Then one of their parents had passed away and they inherited a lot of money, or they inherited land. You know, so these are all things that astrologers can do. And there are, Matt, there are, like, I'm not one of them, but there are financial astrologers that their whole specialty is numbers and money, mm-hmm. and looking at this kind of thing. And they can tell you when's the best time to invest money in certain corporations or in the stock market. I mean, all of this stuff is connected. And like the stock market crash, right? Like when Pluto was, let me give you an example. When Pluto was in Aquarius, it was back when there was the French Revolution. And look, and as soon as it moved from Capricorn back into Aquarius recently, I think it was last year, we had the uprisings in Paris in France, right? And there's that's been going on with the retirement age. There's similar historic patterns that you can see play out in the world, right? Financial patterns, different things. And it's all astrological energy, really, when you come down to it. I just watched a video the other day that someone posted, and I got a good giggle out of it. It was pretty funny because I'm like, yeah, it's true. It said you believe in astrology whether you admit it or not. And it was like a video about science and like how astrology is in everything. It's literally in everything. And it's affecting all of us all the time. And it's something you can't believe in or not believe in. It just is. It just exists. And it's affecting us, you know, just like gravity. Gravity, we know everyone that jumps off a building is going to fall. It's the same kind of thing with the full moon and all these things.
Okay, understand. And Carmen, can you tell us some practical ways in which entrepreneurs and business owners can integrate astrology into their decision making process, especially when they wanna do a business deal, for example, with somebody, or they wanna sign a contract with a big brand, for example.
Yes. I'm glad you brought this up because this is something that I did not talk about yet.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we always say in astrology, it has to do with the planet Mercury. And I don't know if you ever see the memes, Mercury's retrograde, you know, people talk about this, right? Mercury, you never want to sign a contract or do anything new or buy a house, buy a car, or start anything new or sign contracts when the planet Mercury is retrograde, which means that it's spinning backwards in the sky. And it happens like four times a year, and it lasts for 6 to 8 weeks. It affects everybody on Earth. So this is something, if you look up Mercury retrograde dates, you can see when Mercury's retrograde. And this is something I would tell business owners, because I learned this. It's so interesting, like you'll think, okay, I want to get a new job, right? If you already are starting to do something before Mercury's retrograde, then it's a good time that it'll come to conclusion and finish out typically when the planet goes retrograde. So you may be already, you know, putting a resumes out, you know, already interviewing people to hire, or you're trying to get a job, and Mercury's direct, you know, everything's fine. And then when Mercury goes retrograde, almost every time I've been offered a job, officially got a job, was when Mercury was retrograde. The whole thing, always, because Mercury retrograde is about contracts, making formal commitments, decisions, things manifest into reality, right? But it's not a good time. There's communication disturbances, miscommunication, okay? Things that you talk, if you plan something during Mercury retrograde, 100% of the time, the whole thing changes. And this just happened to me. I just had it happen twice this year. We were looking to buy a house, and I knew we should not sign any contract or anything because Mercury was retrograde. But we didn't want to lose the house, so we signed the contract during Mercury retrograde. And as soon as it went direct, the seller, I mean, we had signed and bought the house. She came back and the realtor said, sorry, but she changed her mind. She doesn't want to sell the house now. And we're like, what?
Oh, and, shit.
I know, right? My lost my dream home, man. And I'm still haven't found, I'm still where I'm at. Still haven't found anything. But anyway, okay. So that happened and I knew it. I knew it. But, and then I had been kind of thinking of, you know, a couple times in my life, thinking of getting a new job, doing a change and kind of, you know, looking into it, you know, thinking about it, which is Mercury, our mind, our thoughts, our communication. Okay. And messenger, right? Travel. Mercury affects travel. Travel delays. Computers and technology go haywire. People don't get your emails. If you email something like a company email, I've seen it happen. It can have a lot of backlash. People like they misinterpret what the business owner says. You're like, wait a minute, that's not my intention. That's not what I meant. But when Mercury is retrograde, people miss, they don't see things clearly with communication. So it's a time where you don't want to put a lot in writing. You don't want to say things that you're going to, that you might have to change later. Just kind of withdraw. And it's a time to reflect and just let things play out that you've already did. So it's a good time to get projects done that you already started. That's okay. But don't hire new people. Don't interview people during Mercury retrograde. Don't start a business during Mercury retrograde and sign everything. Okay. Just wait. And that's a big thing with business, the planet Mercury.
So you're saying that Mercury retrograde is actually happening within for a period of 68 weeks, right?
It's 6 to 8 weeks. It happens.
Oh, 6 to 8 weeks. Okay.
So it's four times a year. So it happens quite a bit. So, you know, I'm finally, oh, Mercury retrograde is over. Yay. And I'm like, oh. And the reason is if your sign is a Virgo or Gemini, or you have a lot of Virgo or Gemini in your birth chart, Mercury retrograde will affect you more than other people because that's our ruler. Every sign has a ruling planet, and Virgo's ruler is Gemini, and so is Gemini. We're ruled by the same planet. And so we tend to feel it more. I find Virgos feel it a lot more than other people, other signs, because it affects our whole life because we're ruled by that planet. And in Vedic astrology, you know, there's Western astrology, there's Eastern astrology, Chinese, you know, Vedic is what we call it, sidereal. It's a little bit different how they calculate, but they believe that certain planetary energies that you can wear certain gemstones on or wear them on your as a necklace or as a ring. So here's mine. And this is a nice story about an Indian. My friend from India was an astrologer in India for many years. And he sent me this ring. It's an emerald. And it's supposed to be worn on my pinky finger and never taken off. And it's supposed to help me with the Mercury in my chart because I'm a thinker. And it's hard for me to sleep, hard for me to still my mind at night because I'm always thinking. And so this is supposed to help me. And, you know, he passed away last Christmas unexpected. And I'm very sad. He was one of my friends on Facebook for many, many years and would help me. And he was an astrologer. And I miss him very much. But he remember him every time I see my ring that he sent me from India. So but anyway, yes, there's so much. And I recommend starting with, if I'm a business owner, and even at work, like when you're working with people, what I try to do is I like to do team buildings and I like to do like the four lenses. I've been trained in that or the true colors, you know, and it's the same as the four elements in astrology and get to know people's main personalities. You know, when is your birthday? You know, are you an orange, gold, blue, or green, which are the elements, right? Blues are water, greens are air. This is just my theory. I want to write a book about it, but it's all the same energy of the personality. You know, earth signs are golds. You know, they like order. They like tradition, like things planned. Oranges are fire signs. They like to wing it, and it drives the gold nuts, right? So you can see at work. And we would say, oh, you're a gold, you're a green, you're a blue, you know, we talk in that language in companies when you do these team buildings, because they'll say, okay, all the oranges go to that side of the room. All the blues go to that side of the room. And then you'll have them write a list and oranges are writing all over the place, you know, and then the golds are like numbered lined, very organized and, you know, detailed. So it's like their personality and how they work is all the same. And then you can see who they get along with at work. And it's the same with the elements. The earth signs typically get along well with each other. Earth and water get along well. Fire and air get along well. Fire and fire, you know. So you can see it in a team. You know, when you're a leader or a supervisor, you can really, I would say, if I could, I would say I would love to do everybody's charts, which I have done. And some organizations I've worked in, when I worked in a mental health clinic, the psychiatrist that was our supervisor believed in astrology. He was a Jungian analyst. So he studied Carl Jung, and the astrology is a big part of that certification. So he had me do all of the psychologist birth charts in the clinic. And we did a little team building at someone's house, and they were just blown away because I didn't know anything about them. And I was just doing their birth charts like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And they were very scientific, you know, clinical psychologists, but their mind was opened. And I find that a lot of people that go into psychology and social work are very interested in astrology as a psychological tool. You know, it is. It's a psychological astrology is what we call it. And it's the study of personality. It really is. Yeah.
Understand. Oh, interesting. And when is the next Mercury retrograde going to happen?
Yes. Good. Let's see. Oh, man. I have to look at my... I think it's going to be in... I believe it's August or September. It's coming up soon.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
No contract signing during that period.
and you can follow me. You can follow me on... Facebook, Deep Soul Dark Astrology, and I post about Mercury retrograde. I tell you the dates. I kind of give you a heads up when there's a full moon, how that might affect you. I try to post as much as possible, but it's a full-time job just trying to market on social media, and it's just me. I'm the only one in my business, so it's hard. But I'm always trying to, you know, share knowledge out there. So if you follow me on Facebook, on Instagram, you'll see I post and give you a heads up about some of these things like Mercury retrograde. And if you Google, you can get all the dates and you'll be able to know. And it's pretty amazing because people that don't really know or believe in astrology, they know that there's something to it because they'll say, Carmen, is Mercury retrograde? Because this happened. I'm like, it is. They're like, I knew it, you know, So I kind of open people's minds up, you know, at work with these different energies. And
understand. Oh, nice. And Carmen, can you tell us, like, how can astrology be used to identify the most suitable industries or sectors for an individual's entrepreneurial endeavors?
Oh, yeah. So we really want to look at what your sun sign is. And we want to really, like we talked about, we need to know your 10th house, what's going on in your career house, and also what's going on in the sixth house, which is the house of work and career and routine and coworkers, and the house in the seventh house, the house of partnership, business and love, right? We want to look there, but we want to look at what sign is on the 10th house cusp. And that's, and what we call that is called the midheaven. It's the top of the chart of that wheel, and that's your career house. That's your outer public appearance. And then the bottom of the chart is your home. Your fourth house is your home and family. It's where you withdraw to hide, right? Where you sleep, where you live. And so it's like the upper chart is the public. The lower chart is more of internal. And so this is something really cool. And I'll share this. I have it hanging here. So years ago, I had a newspaper here in St. Louis, the St. Charles, the St. Charles Focus. They came to me and I was 29. I was 29 when it happened. They said, we want you to look at 15 political figures' birth charts and tell us the likelihood of who's going to win these elections, right? And this was like... I mean, I didn't know any of these people, right? Because I had just moved back here from Germany. Actually, I lived in Germany for a while. I moved back to this area here in St. Louis. And so I was doing, you know, my consultations as a part-time job. And I said, sure. So this reporter met with me and he gave me, I got all these charts. I said, well, I need their birth time, their date, year, and place if possible. Some of them I didn't have a time for, you know, because he wasn't able to, you know, get them to reveal it. But Most of them, I had a full birth chart, and almost all of them had 10th house planets, and they were, because they're in the public eye, their sun, their moon, you know, something was there. Capricorn, Aries, you know, Sagittarius, something on that on that 10th house cusp. And I actually, just by their birth chart alone, I told him and predicted, so to speak, who would win those elections. And he was freaked out, because he came back and he said, "You were absolutely right about all of these people." And I didn't even know I didn't know much about them, but I knew some of them had health issues. Some of them had marital things going on, family that was going to affect them in their campaign. And these are people that were running for election. So, and there's a big article. I got it framed here with their pictures and everything. And they interviewed me for it. And this is back when I was 29. Yeah, it was fun. That's like one of my fun moments. And I haven't done anything like that since, but that was a great experience. And so it could be used. It can just a basic, even if you don't have their time and all of the details, you can still know the basics from the sun sign and the moon sign. Just those basics, you can know a lot about. Are they destined to be in the public eye? Are they gonna win as a politician? You know, what are they meant to be doing, right? Do they have good luck and good fortune with the public? You know, those are things you can see, right?
Right. Well, Carmen, you're actually making us more excited and interested about astrology.
Thank you.
Wow, that's interesting. Great. Yeah, and Carmen, can you tell us, like, can astrology help in identifying and overcoming obstacles or challenges that may arise in a business journey?
Oh, definitely. So each sign has their strengths and their weaknesses. So each sign, and I'll just start with Aries, for instance. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. They're ruled by Mars. They're known to be very self-reliant, independent. They're the warrior. Aries is known as the warrior. They're courageous. They're impatient. Right. They like action. So Aries, when they have a hard situation at work or something happens, they are very competitive. And so they get angry easily. They have a little bit of a temper. Right. So that anger or that passion and that drive that Aries naturally have, that fire, right? Their fire, it helps them keep going. And they're like, they're a little bit rebellious. Like, wait, you told me I'm not going to get that job, or you told me I'm not going to do that. I'll prove you wrong. So they will work hard to succeed and achieve their goals, and they're driven, and they're very resilient, because you know why? They get over things quick. They like, they're quickly heal. They quickly move forward, and they always look at the future. But then, then the second sign of the zodiac is Taurus. They're the opposite of that. Tauruses are Earth. They're the Earth sign. Tauruses rule money and finance. They rule the second house. Okay, so they're all about stability, security, comfort, planning, being patient. They always say, you know, Taurus is the bull. They're slow to anger, but once they get mad, you'll know it. But it takes a lot to make them mad. But they're very very into having security, having financial success, owning. They love comfort, you know. So they love food and having nice things, and they work hard to get it, you know, because they're an Earth sign. But the thing with Taurus is they're stubborn and they're strong-willed, and they hold on to the past. So it's hard for them to forgive and let go of the past. And so though that can cause them some trouble. But in business, Tauruses don't like fast change. They want to plan everything along the way and think about what could go wrong. And so it's different than an Aries. An Aries is a risk taker. You know, they're like, okay, I could lose $10,000 if I put money on this. They'll still do it. A Taurus will like, wait a minute, I could lose $10,000, right? So they're going to be a little bit more practical, and they're not going to make rash decisions. And some people could get a little bit annoyed with a Taurus because they want to wait. And if someone's like, hey, I don't want to wait anymore. Let's do this. No, I want to think about it a little bit more. They got to be ready to change, because they don't like change. Yeah. Tauruses don't like change. And then, you know, so every sign, that's just an example. In my book, I go through all of them, of each of their strengths and how they can, you know, heal, overcome, change, adapt to change. Because that's the thing with success is you know, life is always changing. And and every sign has its way of dealing with change and dealing with business and people. And that's the sun sign traits, you know, and the moon sign traits. It's those two placements are such a big part of your personality and how you are at work, how you make decisions, how you communicate, how you show people you care, right? And where you feel comfortable in life. You really got to know your sun sign and moon sign. So I would love for people to get my books and they're very easy to understand. They're basic. They explain everything. And I promise that you'll leave there feeling like you know a lot more about each of the signs and more about yourself and your and strengths and tips.
Okay. Oh, nice. Then, Carmen, are there any notable examples or case studies where astrology has played a significant role in the success of a business that you have actually read for the past numbers of years?
Yeah, I've done business charts before in the past, and I think I'll give you an example. It's not so much business, but Facebook groups. So I have a lot of Facebook. I used to have a lot of Facebook groups. I started the first astrology Facebook groups that were ever around, and those two groups are still around today, and I'm the admin of them, and I run them. But there was a time where I was wanting to create some new groups. So me and an astrology friend of mine did a chart of the group, you know, how will this group be? You know, the day we had the idea to do it and I could tell, oh, wow, I think this group is going to be big. And so I started this group and it got so big. I mean, you know how hard it is to be, an admin of a Facebook group. I mean, you know, because you got a lot of people. You got people that are, you know, trolls. You got to make sure people are being treated right and there's no, bullying. I mean, it's a full-time job. And that group grew and had like 50,000 people, and it got a little bit too much for me, but it was successful. And I went ahead and turned it over and gave it over to some other members and let them run it. And I just focused on my other two groups that are still – have 15,000 people in there, 13,000 people from all over the world. And I don't just let anybody in. We got to answer questions. And most of them have 8th or 12th house planets, you know, because that's where a lot of my research is with the 8th and 12th houses. And I run these groups and those groups became very successful. And I kind of did the chart of the groups and decided to start them back in like 2010, whenever Facebook really got started, you know, and they're still around today. And, but I've seen businesses as well. When I started my, my first, astrology business, I really used that. Right. And it was, and then some things changed, you know, when I first started it, I forgot to mention this. It was called the Astrological Self-Awareness Center. That was the first name of my business. Okay. And then many years went by and I thought something changed, you know, it just didn't feel right. And I started, you know, thinking about names. I wanted to get a new website. And that's when I kind of had this, it was a creative thought, you know, how about Deep Soul Divers? That's kind of what came to me. And so I changed, I did the whole website and it's called Deep Soul Divers Astrology. And I had, you know, I just made it into that, kind of changed it, got a new URL and hosting and then just revamped my website a couple years ago now when I have my books and stuff. So it looks totally different. I'm still making it better, you know, putting that in. But I feel like the charts that I've seen with businesses, it always kind of played out, you know. And I think one of the biggest things people want to know is, number one, should I start my own business? Am I going to be successful, right? And all that stuff. And that can be seen with looking at a birth chart. And then if you have a partner, looking at their chart, okay, how are you guys together if you do this business? What kind of coworkers, what kind of people will help the business grow? You know, what kind of personality right. traits? I mean, I don't need to have their whole chart. I can tell you the kind of people that will help you, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for Virgos, we need people that are a little bit more laid back and easygoing than us, because we're high strung and we're very detailed. We're go, go, go. We're multitasking. We love to communicate, and we don't always take breaks and have fun. And we can be hard on ourselves. So we need some people yep. around us that are make us laugh, that are fun, that also work hard, but they're a little bit more easygoing, you know. And so you can get a balance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what I mean. Okay. Oh, nice. Well, you know, Carmen, well, thank you so much for all these, you know, elaborative examples and explanations on astrology and how it can affect businesses. And, you know, as we're coming to the end of the podcast, we have one last question for you.
Sure.
Okay. And that is this. Carmen, imagine this. You suddenly lose everything, your money, your name, your reputation, your assets. So what will you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When I saw that question, I thought, oh wow, that's a big one. Oh my gosh. So what I had said is I would align and connect myself with those people that I trust and mm-hmm. those people who love me and that know my character, right? And I would try to heal first, because that's a big right. deal. I mean, you know, when you have a crisis and you lose everything and you feel like you're rock bottom, it's going to take you a little time to come out of that. And so yeah. if you only have 30 days, I would say it really depends on your birth chart, how quickly and how you're going to come out of that. But for me, I get my anger or getting a little bit angry or mad and like, no, I'm not, you know, I don't like to feel depressed. I don't like to feel sad. And if I'm right. feeling like that for a long time, there's something in me that gets angry, and that anger pushes me to overcome, you know, no, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to go back out and I'm going to keep doing this. Right. So right. to me, it's not giving up. It's not giving mm-hmm. up, and it's starting over again, baby steps, you know, because I really do believe it takes time and patience and hard work to come back from something like that at times. And I believe we need other people and collaboration and networking, and that can help us in those 30 days. That's what I would do. I would also meditate, pray. I would write out my goals. I would write out what's the most important thing to me right now. Is that survival? You know, what are my needs versus my wants, right? I may want to yeah. own and have a new car, but what do I need? I need food, and I need to be able to pay my bills, right? And right. so focusing on those basic needs first, and then you can start working towards your goals again, and being positive and believing in the law of manifestation. And that's, you know, kind of doing a vision board and looking at, hey, what are 10 things? This is an exercise I learned in the metaphysics school years ago when I took spiritual classes. It was called, okay. It's called 10 Things I'm Thankful For. And what you do is you write down 10 things that you do not have. Okay. You don't have them, but you write at the top of the list, 10 things I'm thankful for. And you prioritize them 1 to 10. Yeah. What's the most important okay. thing you want? It can be material, or it can be not material. It could be success. It could be a new car. It could be a new job. You know, it could be a lot of things. And then you kind of write it, and it's amazing how you realize what's a need versus a want. And so then you start yep. changing it. And then when you get your list really good, number 1 through 10 of most important, you put that list under your pillow, and you read it before you go to bed every night. And you read it as if you have those things. I am thankful for my new job doing this. You know, you try to be as detailed as possible, because you can manifest things pretty easily. And you're like, wait a minute, I didn't really right. want that. Right. So be careful what yeah. you put down there. And then read it when you wake up in the morning. These are 10 things I'm thankful for. And this changes your mindset from the negative to the positive, and it draws abundance. It draws and changes the energy around you. And that's what I would do. I would use all of these tools in my toolbox that I could pull out to survive in those 30 days. That's what I would do.
Wow, awesome. Okay. Wow, nice. Well, Carmen, really thank you so much for, you know,
thank you,
all these tools and explanations and golden nuggets that you've shared in this whole episode. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
And before we leave, can you tell our audience where can they find you and where can they buy their book? Because Bernadette is interested in getting your book as well.
Oh, yes. Yes. You can get my books on Amazon.com. Moon Signs Houses and Healing and Sun Signs Houses and Healing. They're both on there. My website is www.carmenturnershott.com and it's SCHOTT. And you can follow me on Facebook, Deep Soul Divers Astrology, also Carmen Turner Schott Writer, and then Carmen Turner Schott Author on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel. My handle's Carmen Turner Schott. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Once in a while, I do videos and market my books. But you can, you know, get my books on Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. You can get all my books on there.
Awesome.
And visit my website, and it'll take you straight to the Amazon link. Yeah, to order.
Okay. Cool. Wow, awesome. Wow. With that, I would like to thank each and every one of you for being on the podcast, tuning in. And you know what? We're going to have a whole lineup of amazing guests that's coming on board as well. And before I forget, I also would like to thank Book Thinkers for recommending Carmen and many others.
Yeah.
Authors to this amazing podcast. So with that, thank you and have a great week ahead. All right. So see you.
Bye.
And goodbye. Thank you everyone for listening to another episode of The Regacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends, and not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Regacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right. So with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Regacy Show.